mixing in with some clouds with a thunderstorm in the area late into the afternoon. High 89 to 93 Saturday. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm Michael Stack.
Weather brought to you by Total Air Solutions. We keep your air conditioning running strong. Call 877-TOTAL-AIR or go to TotalAirFL.com.
WCCF News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to another installment of The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Conditions. We invite your participation in today's call-in show. If you have questions or comments along the way, the phone number is 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. You're welcome to use either one to call and have a conversation with us. I think we're going to have another exciting and informative show, and I'm sure you're going to want to talk along the way. Let me introduce to you our host of the program from the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. Good morning, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, last night, I stayed up late. I had to watch the Olympics.
A lot of people are very, very into that. The ratings are up on TV and everything.
It is so incredible to see what these athletes can do.
Amazing.
And they're so skilled and they work so hard to get to where they're at. So in terms of goals, which we see these are the ultimate, these athletes with their goals. This is a new month, August.
That's right.
So we at the Triana Prevention Center, each one of us and our patients, when they come in, they see we have posted, each one of us, what our goal is for the month of August. And the patients look at that. They look and say, oh, I see your goal. Well, my goal is to lose between 5 and 6 pounds. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but remember, we have spoken that even if you just lose 1 pound a week, that's 52 pounds in a year, right?
That's right.
So that's my goal for this month.
I remember we talked in January about if we break it down into smaller, easier to understand pieces, you look at, I want to lose 50 pounds this year. That seems daunting. If you say, I want to lose 1 pound this week, that's not so bad.
Right. We're breaking it down by month. Remember, we weren't going to do any New Year's resolution. So one of the other ladies in the office, they're going to be exercising 3 times a week at the gym. One lady is going to decrease soda, more water, and another lady is going to cut back on her carbs. So I hope everyone out there has their goal. And I think, remember last week we gave everybody a hand who had measured their waist. Because remember, we had the conversation about the belly fat, the waist, and how that predicts.
And so the doctor gave an assignment 2 Fridays ago to measure your waist. It was very simple to do.
Yeah, measure your waist. And I hope everybody did that. And everybody needs to have their goals for the month.
Okay.
And this, again, is part of helping motivate. So when I see these athletes, are they not motivated? They're super motivated.
Wow.
Anyways, and I'm very proud. So I just want to also let everybody know that for everyone who doesn't want to call in and ask a question, we have
a new resource.
Right.
And we found this doesn't pertain specifically to this radio program or this radio station. Across the board, there are people who like to call in and participate, and there are people who are a little shy about doing so. Oftentimes, you'll want to ask a question. And you say, I'm shying away from it, when you really should go ahead and ask. So here's a way to do it without putting your voice on the radio. An all-new feature, Ask Dr. Triana. And there are 2 ways to email your questions. You can do it 24/7 all week long, and then she'll come in Friday prepared to answer some of them. And the way to do that is to go to our homepage at WCCFAM.com, WCCFAM.com, and look for Ask Dr. Triana. If you're sitting there with your smartphone or something, you want to just do the email direct. What is that email address?
Okay, it's AskDrTriana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com.
Is that AskDR or AskDOCTOR?
No, DR.
Okay, AskDrTriana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Okay.
So if you have a question, now these are going to be questions for the show. These are not So if you're shy and you have a question, or let's say you want to have a topic for the future, you're interested in something. We've been trying to follow a pattern, but in what we are talking about. And part of what we've been talking about is know your body.
Yes.
We talked about the belly fat and what made you hungry. So today we're going to talk about the in and out of food.
Okay.
So the in and out of food. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's, I think, and we have said this before, that if you get to know your body, you understand at least the basics of how your body works, then when something goes wrong, you'll know, and you could say, hey, I need to talk to my doctor about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. So we're going to start with, all right, when you eat, what do? You put it in your mouth. You take the food, you put it in your mouth. That's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
The food starts in the mouth. And what's the first thing we have in our mouth? Taste.
Okay.
There's five main tastes. Those are salty, sour,
right,
sweet, bitter, and there's one called umami. U-M-A-M-I.
Really?
Yes. And that
completely
is...
completely new to me.
It is. It is. And that is the taste you get from MSG.
Oh.
Glutamic acid. And that also is a taste that's in some of the cheeses that you eat when they break down. Because the MSG is produced, and it's also used as a food additive. So these are the basic tastes. Now, we know that when we eat, the taste is also influenced by our smell. So we know that. Because if you ever go somewhere and you smell something and you go, ugh, I'm not going to eat that. It smells bad, which is good. Then in our mouth, we have salivary glands. This, and saliva is produced.
All right.
This saliva has a mucus and also a watery substance, which has an enzyme which helps to start the breakdown of the food. So this is very important. The saliva acts as a lubricant, and it also has an enzyme called amylase, which helps with the digestion of food. It also has an enzyme called lysozyme, which helps kill bacteria and help protect our teeth.
So the actual breakdown of the food, it doesn't wait until our stomach. It begins right there in the mouth.
Yes. Okay. And, of course, chewing, you know, breaking down the mechanical part.
Mastication.
So, mastication, right.
It's the only word I remember from biology.
Okay. So we know when you swallow your food, what we're actually talking about is the digestive tract. And another word is called the gastrointestinal tract.
Okay.
So food goes from your mouth to your esophagus, to your stomach, to your small intestine, to your colon. The last part of the colon is called the rectum, and then it goes out your anus.
All right.
So we have the transit, but now we're going to look at each area of where the food goes.
Okay.
The food goes to your stomach, and in your stomach produces these acids. And these acids help to also break down the food. Now remember, what is the goal of our body? To get nutrition. Why are we getting nutrition? Because we need energy. Energy for our body, for our cells, in order to exist. What happens when we eat too much nutrients? Our body pulls in. Remember we talked about calories.
That's right.
Calories is a unit of energy. So if we bring in too many calories and absorb that into our body has to turn that into fat if we don't use up those energy, those calories.
Okay. That's calories in general. I'm not talking about fat versus sugar. But sugar turns into fat if it's not used,
because
correct?
The basic energy, everything, a carbohydrate, a protein, a fat, is going to produce energy, calories. It's like if you take a piece of wood and you put it in the fire, That's the energy. It's going to burn and make energy. But we know that if we put in more energy, more calories in than we use up and than we take out, then that our body's going to store it for a rainy day. So that's why when we try to lose weight, we need to cut back on our calories and exercise to use up more calories.
Got
to
work both sides of that equation.
Yes, both sides to lose the weight. So the food goes into the stomach, and that is very, very important. From there, the food, now remember, we had the food, you swallow the food, it goes into the esophagus. The body has its own motility system.
Okay.
It starts moving the food down. Food can stay in your stomach anywhere from 1 hour to even up to, at times, to 24 hours in your stomach. The whole transit time of your food should take from your mouth to the end, the out, should take between 6 and 8 hours. That's the average.
Okay.
All right?
So let me stop right there so I understand, as I'm sure a lot of people, you know, are kind of curious about some of the things that, I think of too. You say in your stomach for up to how long?
Your food can stay from 1 hour to sometimes up to 24 hours.
Because I've known people who have had what I believe are called motility problems, and the food doesn't move through as quickly as it should. What could make the difference? Is it in my body or is it in what I eat? Or both?
The food that you eat.
Okay.
So remember we talked about proteins increasing satiety. It means it's harder to break down the proteins. But there are certain conditions, and right now we're just speaking about the normal, but there are certain conditions, especially it's called gastroparesis, where the stomach doesn't move, doesn't empty out well, and that's usually associated with diabetics.
Gotcha.
So we will...
We'll get to that on a future program.
Right, in the future, but you're right. There's some people, they also, some people, when they eat, they go, oh, food goes right through me. It's not that it goes right through you. It's that when you eat, it stimulates your colon to contract. That's called the gastrocolic reflex. And some people will say they eat and then they have to run and go to the bathroom and have a bowel movement, because really what happens is the food in the stomach is stimulating the colon to contract.
Okay.
It's not that the food went from the mouth all the way down to the end.
Okay.
All right, that's a sensation.
All right, so we're in the stomach now.
Now, remember, we're talking about the gastrointestinal system. You lay it out end to end. It's about 30 feet.
That's amazing to me.
30 feet.
That is amazing.
All right, and that is very important to understand, 30 feet. And as I said, we're going to discuss also, because today I want everyone to understand what it is, what it does, and then we'll talk about what happens when it doesn't work right.
Okay.
And how do we look at it? There's different ways that we can study the gastrointestinal tract. So the stomach, then, the food goes to the small intestine.
Okay.
The small intestine is very important. That's where we have absorption of our nutrients. In the beginning of the small intestine, now the small intestine, and I don't want to lose anybody here, so pay attention. There's three sections, and I know people are going to say, geez, I kind of remember those words. The duodenum or duodenum is the beginning part,
okay,
the jejunum, and then the ileum.
All right.
Well, we have other organs in our body that work to aid for this digestion, the breakdown of food.
Okay.
And those organs are the pancreas. That pancreas is really important.
There's a lot of things, doesn't it?
The pancreas produces insulin.
We've heard it before.
It produces glucagon, which is another hormone, and it produces enzymes to break down our food.
Wow. Busy little organ, huh?
That organ puts those pancreatic juices, it delivers them to the duodenum. So this is all very important. And we also have the liver. The liver produces bile. The bile goes to your gallbladder. That's where it's like a little reservoir. And then the bile, when you eat, the bile then contracts and produces the bile, and it goes into the duodenum or the duodenum to help digest fat.
Okay.
So I find it so fascinating that everything, when it works, and most of the time, it works so well. So to me, I think medicine is incredible. We're learning, we're studying, and I just want to, I want to give that enthusiasm to everybody else.
Well, at this point, what I'm taking away from this conversation, and it's something that I don't think I've ever thought about, and probably most people don't think about, is how different parts of your body have very specific roles. Sort of like a light switch. You go in, you turn it on, the lights come on, it's fine. You, the electricity's working. Same thing with the body. You put food in your mouth, and you don't have any difficulties with it's working.
It's working.
But there's so many intricacies that make it work.
But we need to understand, so when we have problems, we can say, okay, I know what that is. I know what that function is. So when people can go to their doctor and ask these questions. So from the small intestine, the food, after the nutrients are absorbed, it goes to the large intestine. The beginning of the large intestine is called the cecum, and that is where our appendix is attached. Okay, so it's attached to the large intestine.
The appendix, so often referred to as a completely useless organ, true or not?
Well, it you can live without it, okay?
Yes, you can.
They don't know exactly everything what it was. You know, there's certain parts that are called remnants of our body that we don't know what why they were formed, but they're there. So it does have lymphatic tissue, and the whole body does. So the important thing is this, is that after the intestines, the food that's left over, that we got the nutrients out, there's going to be the waste. And the colon acts to take out also liquid, fluid. Now, we also know that in the colon are different type of bacteria, which we, as I tell my patients, you have good bacteria in your colon and some bacteria. If you get sick, it can become with bad bacteria.
Okay.
All right. So the colon is very important. So it is during the colon, then the waste, the food that goes out, then goes to the rectum. Well, this is now where in the rectum, where the human body now is conscious and has sensation that, okay, we have something there. It's time to get it out. And that stimulates you to have a bowel movement. And it goes out the anus. So we know that every part of our body is important. Every part of our body. And we need to understand that the function so that we can understand what happens when things go wrong and why we should check things out.
I think conversations like this help you have a more constructive conversation with your doctor because now you have a better understanding of how the body functions, it can kind of narrow and pinpoint your problems.
So we've been discussing about food, about belly fat. We're discussing now about how that food goes down from the back of your mouth and it goes the in and out of the food. We've discussed also about the pancreas and how important that is. And we've also discussed about the gallbladder. The gallbladder is very important. It holds. Now, I've had patients ask me, and we're going to talk about when you have problems with your gallbladder, because I think that's going to be a whole separate
That's program. Requiring its own program.
And we have a caller.
Yes, let's go to our callers as they come in. Hi, caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller.
I guess.
I'm hearing something in the background, but I'm thinking that perhaps they on their end maybe aren't, you know, sometimes cell phones are like that. So call back, try us again. We'll get you on as soon as we can.
Yes. So the important part of understanding is the gallbladder. People ask me, and as I said, we will discuss the gallbladder, but you can live without your gallbladder. You still produce bile. The bile is still important for your digestion of your foods, your fats. Now, we talked about when people want to try to lose weight, the different surgeries, and one of those is bariatric surgery,
yes,
where actually this whole system is rerouted. The gastric bypass, the intestine is rerouted, and a small pouch in the stomach is built.
Which is interesting because you said before, late end to end, you're looking at 30 feet total. So manipulating any of that also seems quite amazing.
It is. It's very, very amazing. In our intestine, the whole intestines are lined with, we call it the mucosa.
Mm-hmm.
And that mucosa is specially made to absorb food.
Okay.
So this is very, very important. So we know that if something were to happen and part of your intestine either was removed or did not work, mm-hmm, or was damaged, then that would be a reason that people will lose weight.
Okay.
So when someone, or if you see that the intestines, if someone has their mobility, their, if they see they have, like, for example, diarrhea, where they keep having runny stools, then that also is telling us that there has been either, they could have either infection or some other damage to the mucosa of the intestines.
Might not be something serious in the sense that it's a major disease process, but it's definitely at least a temporary irritation is what it sounds
right.
like.
But we're going to talk about when things go wrong, but I want everyone to understand when things go right.
Okay.
And it's very important, as we have discussed about food, and if you have any questions, again, you can email me at askdrtriana@trianapreventioncenter.com for future questions for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I showed you a new card with my picture on it doing the radio program, and everyone is, actually, they think it's pretty cool.
I do, too.
I think it's cool, too, because I'm very enthusiastic about the program.
You certainly are.
And I have my website there that the older programs are archived. So, again, you can go back to the basics about, we've talked about salt, we talked about olive oil. And it's not like we're not going to talk about these things again, but they are there. The programs are dedicated for that,
mm-hmm,
and people can go back and listen. So in the in and out of food, remember, when you taste food, what are the five tastes? Salty, sour, sweet, bitter, umami. Okay.
Still the new one. When I was growing up, I swear it was only four. Is that last taste something that they've discovered in recent years, or?
They have discovered. Uh-huh. Plus, we know that these receptor cells are on your taste buds.
Aren't they on specific areas of the tongue?
That is a myth.
That's a myth. Okay.
The taste buds are receptors, and those receptors then go to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So those little taste buds are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that if you drink something very hot, you burn them. You scald them.
They get numb for a while.
And they hurt. So these receptors are very important, and they communicate to the brain. And then this also starts the process. So we also have to know, again, about the salivary glands. So once you've swallowed your food and it goes into your esophagus, you really no longer have control over it. The body takes over. The peristalsis, the motility, the food goes down from there,
mm-hmm,
into the stomach. From there, again, remember, the food is processed and broken down, and the whole trip should take between 6 to 8 hours.
But that doesn't mean if it takes longer than that, that there's necessarily something wrong.
No, but that's the average.
Mm-hmm.
That's the average. And everyone, we all have a little bit of a different regulation system.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is to know what is your system, pay attention, and give your body time. One of the biggest things people do is they either eat too quickly, they don't take time. You remember, that stomach has to tell your brain you're full. It takes about 20 minutes.
Which I've always heard is a key point of watching calories. It's that it's too easy to keep eating. And when, by the time you feel that full sensation, it's about 20 minutes later. You should have stopped eating 20 minutes ago.
Well, it takes time, so eat slowly. Mm-hmm. The other thing to understand is not only do we need to take our time to eat, but we also need to take time to do the out part, the bodily function.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are always in a rush, go here, go there, and they don't take time to do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. In other words, take time to eat your food. Know that it's going to take time. You know, when you have the feeling, don't keep putting it off, that you may have to have a bowel movement, because mm-hmm. then that may alter your whole body. And if you have a problem, if you have pain, which we will discuss, you need to talk to your doctor about it.
Let me ask you, because you're talking about rushing through the process. There are some people that seem to have just the opposite perspective on the end of the process. I'm being sort of delicate here because I don't want to offend anybody, but I've known several people who, if things aren't working in what they think are like clockwork, they will force the process along. And in fact, I know one person who I don't want to name or anything like that, but she every single day takes an enema. Every day. Because if she doesn't go, in her mind, there's something wrong.
Well, you know what? The best way is natural. And we know that fiber in your diet, drinking plenty of water, and exercise. Oh, there's that word again. Exercise.
Exercise affects digestion too?
Yes, it does. If you, in fact, this is one of the problems. People who become very ill, are sedentary, are not moving. Exercise improves your digestion. Exercise, remember, also improves your using up calories. Exercise, that's why when you look at these Olympic athletes, they're exercising. They have their body so fine-tuned, their muscle is just using energy right and left.
We were talking before the show about it's amazing when you see the statistics. Some of these athletes are taking in 10, 12,000 calories a day.
Well, obviously, most people are overweight.
Yeah.
So if they're overweight and they're not exercising or not able to exercise and taking in, remember, the calories, then they're putting out, then your body is going to take those nutrients and store it up as fat. Mm-hmm. And remember, we talked about the belly fat. The belly fat produces hormones that also affect our ability to lose weight because they also affect our insulin.
So, in a sense, the body fat makes it harder to lose the body fat, if I'm following that correctly. It's sort of a strange loop there.
But the important thing is to understand we have a natural balance, a natural rhythm. The whole thing is to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on our next program. We're gonna try to understand, and I want to make things interesting too.
Always do, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that, but I want it to be interesting because I think it's fascinating. We're gonna talk about the gallbladder. I mean, I know, and also about the pancreas.
All right.
So I want everyone to know that we're here to stay healthy and to learn more, because knowledge is power.
Please remember that if you have a question for next week's show or any time, simply go to the website, WCCFAM.com, and there you can look for Dr. Triana, click, and it'll just open up your email service for you. Or you can always, of course, go to Dr. Triana's website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com.
Yes. Stay healthy. Thank you.